Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to our divine service worship for the day of Pentecost. We'll begin our worship service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, Holy Spirit, Light Divine.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, May 28th, 2023 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Ron and Janet Estel and Ken Richard. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is 496, Holy Spirit, Light Divine. Hymn number 46 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Casey and Sharon Jones are sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast today in the glory of God in celebration of the 35th wedding anniversary.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our responsive song. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
And my God, let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me.
Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me in your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old.
Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Glory be to the Father. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. On this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. The Old Testament reading for this day of Pentecost is from the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 24th verse. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to camp. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Ten Commandments, what is the seventh commandment?
You shall not steal.
What does this mean? We should fear and love God,
so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions, or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income.
The second reading from the book of Acts, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked them and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the Gospel of the Lord, we confess our Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. If there are any children who would like to come forward this morning for a children's message, please feel free to do so at this time. Morning, Mason. Ben, how you doing today? Doing all right? That's good. That's good. So today is a special day in the church year. This is the day of Pentecost. This is the day when we remember that God sends the Holy Spirit. Now, we say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, and I believe in God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has a special work that he does for us. The Holy Spirit brings us to faith in God. So, we could not come to faith in Jesus Christ. We could not trust in Jesus Christ all on our own. Because when we're born, we're like this to God. Got our knuckles up. We stomp our feet. We say to God, no. No. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for the work of the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have faith at all. And the Holy Spirit comes to us. He comes through the Word and the sacraments. That's how the Holy Spirit works. As a matter of fact, did you know you have the Holy Spirit working in you? Right? Did you know that? You do. As a matter of fact, I tell you what, I'm going to invite you gentlemen over here. Okay? Why don't you follow me for a second? Come on over here. This, as you know, is our baptismal font. Right. So, when you were baptized, now there's no water in here yet, but can you see? Go ahead and put your hand in there. Yep, that would be filled with water. Okay? When you were baptized, you were given the Holy Spirit. Edith? Oh, a cousin? Yeah? Your baby cousin. Yeah. And when Edith was baptized, she was given God's Holy Spirit. And the Lord came to work in her. Now, we find that our baptisms are very special. We hold them very much in our minds and our hearts and say, I am baptized. Well, at school, what do we sing when somebody has a baptismal anniversary?
I was baptized, happy day. All my sins were washed away. God looked down on me and smiled. I became his own dear child.
Exactly. Very good. And that's what we sing for baptismal anniversaries. And we remember the day when God reached down out of heaven and claimed us as his own dear child, made an heir of heaven and an inheritor of all the heavenly realms. And when we look at our baptism, yes, Mason?
After my cousin's birthday, Jesus baptized us today. And it was my cousin Holland's birthday.
Oh, well, that's great. So baptismal birthdays and regular birthdays, a lot of stuff going on. So, and the scripture tells us. Well, how many sides? How many sides are here? Can you count? seven?
Eight.
Right. And you know what? That's the very special reason why we have eight sides to a baptismal font. It reminds us of the great flood. And the church is the ark. Remember Noah built an ark? The church is like that. Because like if you look up there, you see the line in the ceiling. You see the line in the ceiling up there? If you take your mind and you flip the church upside down, it's like a boat. It reminds us of a ship. Right. And then up at the front is the front of the ship. And this is the nave where all the people sit. All the people in the ship are sitting in here. This is where they're saved. And how many people were on the ark in Noah's ark? Do you remember? There was Noah and his wife and three sons and their wives. That makes...
Eight.
There were eight people on the ark in all who were saved through the great flood. When the flood wiped it, washed all the sinful stuff from humanity away. And so our baptismal font has eight sides to remind us of Noah and his family being saved in the waters of holy baptism. Exactly. And so today we remember that God gave us the Holy Spirit, and we thank God for his work, the Holy Spirit's work in us, so that we would come to faith, so that we would believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that Jesus rose again for us from the grave, lives and reigns to all eternity. Let's say a prayer real quick, gentlemen. Dear God, we thank you so much for sending the Holy Spirit to us in our baptisms. We thank you for your work of bringing us to faith in Jesus Christ, and we pray you to work in us each day to continue to strengthen our faith, and bring us at the last to our home in heaven. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Gentlemen, thank you for coming down. If you would, head back to sit with your families, and we will continue our service with the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 497, Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord. Hymn number 497 in the Lutheran Service Book.
sermon text today from our three readings from the book of Numbers. Would that the Lord would put His Spirit on all of them. From the book of Acts, the second chapter. This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, the Lord declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And from the Gospel of St. John, the seventh chapter. Now Jesus said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive. The words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Amen. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on God's people, and as the Scripture says, in the last days this will come about. So, since the day of Pentecost, we know that we are in the last days, and Jesus Himself told us that the Holy Spirit would come upon the world, that He would send the Holy Spirit. He promised to give them another Comforter. In John 14, Jesus said that the Spirit would teach them everything. In verse chapter 15, He promised that the Comforter would come testifying concerning the Christ. In John 16, He says the Holy Spirit would guide them in all truth. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus promised that His disciples would receive the power of the Holy Spirit, who would come upon them to equip them to be witnesses both locally in Jerusalem and throughout all of the earth. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem until they had received the promise of the Father. Jesus also said, John baptized you with water, but I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So who then is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. The Holy Spirit was present at the creation of the world. The Holy Spirit hovered or brooded over the waters. The Spirit has the work of bringing us to faith in Jesus Christ and keeping us in the Christian faith. And the one true faith in Jesus Christ. As we have learned in the Apostles' Creed and its meaning in the third article, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. In the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it in the one true faith with Jesus Christ. I cannot believe by my own reason or strength. Why can I not believe by my own reason or strength? Why? Because I am blind, dead, and an enemy of God by birth. It's nothing that I or most people like to admit, but it is the scriptural truth that because of original sin and our fallen nature, we are all, each and every one of us, born dead to God. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, and kept me in the true faith. He has made me holy in the same way He has done for you, brought you to faith, kept you in the church, made you holy in God's sight. Now, I was thinking, this is important. I mean, Pentecost is coming, and you know how it is. You do the same thing in your work. You think about what's coming up next week, and you know, you're thinking about things as you're going through your week. So it's really nothing different here. But I was thinking about the third person of the Holy Spirit, or the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and I happened to be watching TV, and I thought, how's this all going to mesh together? Okay, so I was watching TV the other night, about last week, and what was I watching? I was watching the Power Rangers movie. Now, I know what you're thinking, the Power Rangers movie, right? Because that's a little bit after my time. I'm, you know, Johnny Sarko's robot, anybody? Space Giants, you know. Yeah, that's Speed Racer? Yeah, Speed Racer. Okay, and my personal favorite, okay, Star Blazers. Okay, that was one of my favorites. Japanese, one of the best songs that goes with any cartoon right there, Star Blazers. But I digress. I'm off the point quite a bit. I was watching the Power Rangers movie, and there's this scene in the Power Rangers where one character, right? She apparently was trying to get the goat of another girl, and there was a picture sent on a phone, and we know these things happen. There was a picture sent on a phone, and what did the girl do? She forwarded it to the entire school to make the other girl look bad, okay? And, you know, she's like, but now she's upset about it. After she did it, she's upset about it, okay? And she's mad at herself for doing this. And another Power Ranger, the Red Ranger, tells her these fantastic, wonderful human words, right? Well, you're not a bad person. And I'm sitting on my couch going, no, yeah, she's a bad person. Like, bad people do those things. That's what bad people do. When you do bad things, it means you're a bad person. Now, humanly speaking, the Power Rangers have absolutely nothing to do with confession and absolution and the forgiveness of sins. Right? That's our job. We are the ones who recognize that when we do things like that, we are doing bad things. And when we do bad things, it makes us a bad person. And how can a bad person be saved? Ah, now this is the work of the church. This is confession and absolution. This is what we deal with here. It's what we do. We know that we are bad people, each and every one of us. And as such, we cannot work out our own salvation. We cannot come to salvation on our own. Our salvation is God's work. And God's Holy Spirit works through the gospel of Jesus Christ to bring us to faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. In fact, the earthly mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. It can't do it. It's the Spirit's job to call us, to gather us, to enlighten us. And that's very much the reason why we Lutherans almost never, okay, not take the almost out, we never speak in terms like making a decision to accept Jesus. Why? Because we're dead. We're dead in our trespasses and sin. We can't do that. Instead, what do? We emphasize the Spirit's work of calling us and bringing us to faith in the gospel. When Jesus says words like, follow me, his words has the power to create faith in us and create the ability to follow him. It is his work. Look, if we could do things on our own, if we could save ourselves, if we could come to faith all on our own, what do we need that for? We wouldn't need the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it would be within our own power to believe. But we don't have that power. We don't have that strength. We need God's Holy Spirit to give that to us. His Word and His Spirit has the power to turn us from our sins and move us to trust and to follow Jesus Christ. And Word and Sacrament are the means through which the Spirit works. So the Spirit always works through means. It, you know, when I'm doing confirmation class, I tell the kids, you know, nobody who's never heard of the Bible, who's never heard of Jesus Christ, is walking down the airport concourse and goes, "Wow, I'm a Christian now." No, the Spirit does not work like that. The Word has to be brought to you. The Word through which God's Holy Spirit works. The Word through which faith is created in each of us. The Holy Spirit and His power work through the Word that is preached and through the Word of promise that is attached to the sacraments. So we should be absolutely certain that where God's Word is preached according to the Lord's intent and will, and people listen to it and meditate on it and think about it, God is certainly present with His grace and gives what we by our own power are unable to take or give. So what do we prize? We prize God's external Word, and we prize our baptisms through which we were given the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Remember each and every day what your baptism promises you. It promises to bring you victory over death and the devil, the forgiveness of sins, God's grace, the entire Christ and the Holy Spirit with all of His gifts. In short, the blessings of baptism are so many and so vast that if we should fully consider everything that was given to us in our baptisms, we would wonder if it all could possibly be true at all. And yet, there in baptism is brought free to you and all believers, right to the door of everyone's life, the priceless gift of God, which swallows up death and saves the lives of everyone. the Spirit then works in your life each and every day. Each and every time you battle against your besetting sins, each and every time you battle against sin. When you repent, it is the Spirit's work, for the Spirit leads us to hear both the law of God and the gospel. And through the law, what does a person learn? Through the law, a person learns to know their sins and the wrath of God, to feel genuine sorrow and terror over their sins, to become contrite in their heart. And through the preaching and the meditation of the Holy Gospel, the gracious forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, there is kindled in each and every one of us a spark of faith, which in turn accepts the forgiveness of sins for the sake of Jesus Christ and finds comfort in the promises of the gospel. You see, all of that is the work of the third person of the Holy Trinity. That is the Spirit's work. It is then true that the Holy Spirit must, through the office of the law, convict us of our own sins, convict the world of sins. It is also the work of the Spirit to rebuke us, and we indeed feel this in our own consciences when we have sinned. He does this until it comes to the work that he desires to do most, that is to comfort us with the preaching of grace and the preaching of the gospel. Everything, then, in this Christian church is so ordered that we may each and every day find the full forgiveness of our sins through the word and sacraments, which are given to us to comfort us and to revive our consciences as long as we live. Although we have sin, the Holy Spirit sees to it that this sin does not harm us because we are in the Christian church, where there is given the full forgiveness of all of our sins. Therefore, we can know nothing of Christ and nothing of his forgiveness if it had not been revealed to us by God's Holy Spirit through the working of God's Word. And how do we hear of Christ? Where does the Spirit work? The Holy Spirit works through means to make us holy. And what means does the Holy Spirit work through? The Holy Spirit leads us to the Christ, and there and here in our Holy Mother, the Church, we are given the Word and the sacraments for the forgiveness of our sins. We are told of the resurrection of our body. We are told of the life everlasting. And none of us, not a single one of us, could know anything about Christ or believe in him unless the Church and the Gospel were first offered to us through the work of God's Holy Spirit. And they were placed into our hearts, not by our own doing, but by the work of the Holy Spirit in the preaching of the gospel, to make this treasure known to us, the treasure of the gospel, the whole work of Jesus Christ known to us. God has caused the word to be written down in the Bible, and God has caused that same word to be proclaimed to us from pulpits throughout time and throughout all of the world. In the word, what does God give? He gives us his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit offers to us and applies to us the treasures of salvation. In this way, he makes us holy, and he brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive this blessing. The very blessing of the church, which we could neither earn nor obtain by ourselves. The Holy Spirit reveals and preaches God's word, and by that word, he opens and kindles every heart so that they may grasp, accept, cling to, and persevere in the one true faith in Jesus Christ. So where Christ is not preached, or where Christ is preached in error, or where some form of our works are mingled with Christ's righteousness, or where a work completely takes the place of Jesus' righteousness, there is no Holy Spirit there. No Holy Spirit to call, to gather, enlighten, or sanctify the Christian church. Because that cannot happen outside of word and sacrament. And the church, without the church, no one can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit works through what the church offers, word and sacrament. So let us hold dear and let us prize the work of the Holy Spirit. For his work is to make you holy, to daily increase holiness upon the earth, and through the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments, give to us the forgiveness of all of our sins. And knowing that our sins are forgiven, we are confident that we will pass from this life to the next life. And that when we die, we will be instantly transported to a heavenly realms, to live in perfect holiness and to preserve us eternally in such holiness. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what we remember this day. This is what we celebrate this day, what the Holy Spirit has done for us. He has brought you here this morning. He has caused you to open your scriptures, to read them. He moves you to pray. He moves in your heart to cause you to confess your sins and to receive the forgiveness of those sins within your mother, the church. And it promises you and gives you the confidence of life everlasting. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we praise Him and thank Him for His work in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the prayers of the church. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Most gracious Holy Spirit, we thank you for your work in bringing us to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We implore you this day to continue in us your work through the use of word and sacrament ministry so that our faith would be strengthened. Stir in us sorrow over our sins. Give us repentant hearts that confess our sins and work in us the confidence that our sin is forgiven for the sake of the person and work of Jesus, to the end that we come at the last to life eternal. With you and the Father and the Son, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, we know that you have borne our infirmities in your flesh, and that you sympathize with our weaknesses. Hear and act on behalf of the sick in our midst. We pray this day for Darius Knauer as he struggles with wounds that are not healing. In accordance with your will and in your time, we ask that Darius would find healing for his affliction. We ask also that you would bear up his wife Emma as she prays for her husband and daily intercedes on his behalf. We ask also for your mercy upon Wilma Stocker, as her health is failing, asking you to continue to strengthen her faith and to cause her trust in the glories of heaven to grow. For all those we also name in our hearts and our minds, grant grace in the appropriate measure and the faith to accept the answer you give to our prayers. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, who sees to the growth of the human race through the birth of children, accept the thanksgiving of Ron and Mary Harmson for the birth of their grandson Ryan, born to their daughter Caitlin and her husband Luke. Thank you for a safe delivery and for the health of mother and child. We ask that now Ryan be brought swiftly to the waters of holy baptism, there to be made your child and an heir of life eternal. Lord, hear your mercy. Dear God, as we look forward to life eternal, we also pray for Josh Welker and his family as they mourn the death of Josh's grandmother. Lord, as you have seen fit to call her to the heavenly realms, may they find comfort in the forgiveness of sins and the life everlasting. May you comfort Josh and his entire family and grant your peace unto him. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all those who so graciously serve you as they see to the support and the earthly well-being of our congregation. We thank you for the time given, the talents shared, and the treasure bestowed upon this congregation by all our members. Grant that such gifts be honored with the preaching of true doctrine, the blessing of forgiveness, and the rite administered of the sacraments, so that in all things we may point to life everlasting and may be saved for all eternity. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, this Memorial Day weekend, may we each pause to remember the sacrifices of those who have given their lives in the service to our nation. Please grant that we as a people honor their devotion to their vows by holding dear the founding documents of our nation and the intent of the framers of our founding. Preserve us, O Lord, from those who would destroy our republic and replace it with their own ideas. Cause all who have taken oaths to support and defend the Constitution of the United States to be true to their word, and keep us, dear God, a free people, a nation who values you and your word, to the end that all within our boundaries be partakers of the liberty and opportunity our nation affords, and that violence, war, and bloodshed would be kept far from our cities and our shores. In Christ's holy name, we ask all these petitions. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM. Or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We rise for the singing of our offertory. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 826, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying, hymn number 826 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. A few announcements for us this morning. First and foremost, there will be a voters meeting in between services this morning. That's for all confirmed members of the congregation who are 18 or older, are voting members of the congregation by the Constitution. So you're welcome to come to that. We'll be looking to put forward a candidate to hire as a custodian here at church and school. So that'll be in between our services, between 9:10 and 9:15, Rod? 9:10, 9:15, okay. There is no youth group this evening. Next Sunday, June 4th, we'll have youth group. That will be laser tag out in the backyard here. So, Peggy, what are the fifth grade through high school, is that? And any father or mother who's brave enough to try, willing to pull their hamstrings and shoulders out, diving and jumping and all those other kinds of things. It was a lot of fun last year. I'm still sore, but it was worth it. Anyway, the laser tag was a blast. So, and that's next Sunday here from 6 to 8, I believe. And there's a flyer. Peggy has a flyer, I think. Don't you, Mrs. Meyer? Okay, pizza and ice cream. I'm not one to put ice cream on my pizza, but I will eat them separately. And also, I have, speaking of pizza and ice cream, food, hold on a second. Doug handed me a note here about an all-church picnic. And so rather than try and come up from memory, I'm going to use the paper here. The stewardship committee is hosting an all-church picnic. When? Saturday, June 10th. What time? 5 p.m. to question mark. Where? Backyard is where we'll be. All right. He says, bring a friend or a neighbor. Menu. Stewardship provides the food and the table service. Hamburgers and hot dogs. A small bag of chips. Baked beans. Macaroni and cheese casserole. This was the one that I was joking with Doug about, not the macaroni and cheese casserole, but I said, you're giving out free cocktails. He's like, no, it's fruit cocktail. Not free cocktails, fruit cocktail. Desserts of pies and cookies, tea, lemonade, and water. They're going to have some games in the back also, and they hope to conclude the evening with devotions or vespers. He says, we are only asking for everyone to attend. Bring a lawn chair to relax for a great time of fellowship. So again, Saturday, June 10th at 5 o'clock in the backyard out there, a church picnic. So mark that on your calendars. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.